All right, guys, pictures up.
Pictures up.
Pictures up.
Let's roll sound.
Rolling.
Rolling.
Sound speeds.
Camera speeds. Two. Awesome. Take two. Mark.
Set up.
And
action.
Welcome to the Penn Cinema Podcast, your behind-the-curtain connection for movie news and reviews. Now, here are your hosts, Penn Ketchum and David Moulton.
Welcome to the show. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
What's up?
David.
Yeah.
We have a situation.
Oh, my gosh. Do we need to hit the alarms?
Yes. Sound the alarms. Exactly. What is that? Is that like that's like a prison break alarm.
Yeah, or like, I guess, a submarine diving, maybe?
Yes. Yeah. Yes, a submarine diving. It's definitely not like an ordinary alarm. Well, listen. Here's what happened.
Okay.
Now, I don't want you to freak out because I'm going to move on. I'm going to get over it. But somebody broke into my house and ate all the peanut butter eggs that were sitting here on my desk.
What?
It happened while I was sitting here watching trailers. So
who could it have been?
It must have been a real stealth, burglar.
Oh, my gosh.
When I walked in to start watching the trailers, there was all these peanut butter eggs.
Down or down.
One thing led to another. I feel super energized.
Not like you have a ton of sugar in you or anything.
Right, and I'm craving jelly. But other than that, we have no idea what happened to those eggs.
Craving jelly. I have big news this week.
Hit me.
There I was minding my own business, right?
That's my all-time favorite way to start a story. So I was sitting there minding my own business. Yeah. Okay, go ahead.
Not trying to stir up anything.
No.
Going.
Yeah, no.
And I meet this fine young gentleman.
And I
say, "How you doing, good sir?"
Hello, good sir.
I tipped my hat. Perhaps you recognize me from the Penn Cinema podcast. And he took his bow and he said, "Very well, old chap. I myself am Connor, not Connor." And put his hat back on. And I sat back in shock. The Connor, not Connor, right in front of me.
Connor, not Connor, I think got himself a fancy job in show business.
Yeah, I heard that. And it's surprising because it's not because he's 17 feet tall.
Right.
Because he's pretty tall.
I think he's at the local multiplex.
Yeah.
The local cinemaplex.
The local cinemaplex. Yeah. That's where I saw him, and I was shocked. And
yeah.
And it was a moment for everyone around us as I made loud, "What?"
It was a big week for the Penn Cinema podcast all around.
Oh, tell me.
In addition to your experience.
Uh-huh.
Our listener base has grown exponentially. As you know, because you're the one who tracks this and tells me, our audience is growing steadily, and we are inflicting ourselves upon more and more listeners with every passing week. Well, a new listener arrives out of Brooklyn.
Brooklyn.
A young boy, a young man, Brooklyn. Oh. Should we... Sidebar, happy birthday, Brooklyn.
Happy birthday, Brooklyn. Just happened yesterday. Not this Brooklyn.
This is a whole different Brooklyn. Yeah. I'm talking about the borough of Brooklyn, which my dad frequently refers to as Crooklyn.
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 Jeez.
Right. Anyway, my dad, we've been doing the show for this is the 117th episode.
Right. So a week or two.
Right. A little while. We've never missed a week. And my dad, every time I see him, he says, "Oh, now, how do I listen? How do I access a podcast?" For 2 years now, every time I see him or talk to him, and if the show comes up in conversation, which it always does because I love talking about it, and he always says, "Oh, that sounds like so much fun. How do I get that? How do I get it on my..." Right. So he apparently claims. Now, my dad goes by Pops.
Okay.
We like to call him Pops. So Pops claims that he is now an avid listener.
Oh, really?
Yes. He says he got the app on his he got the app on his machine.
Oh. Is someone calling his voicemail and leaving it just letting it play out for an hour?
I'm faxing him a script of the show. So he says that he has an app now. And I wanted to mention this, first of all, because I'm thrilled, because I'm so proud of the show and I want him to listen, but also because I'm sort of setting like a little sting. So we'll see. We're talking about him. We're sitting here having a good laugh. And I just want to wish him, by the time this podcast is recorded, he will only have one day left as a 79-year-old man.
Whoa.
Because on Wednesday, he turns 80.
Hey, congratulations, Pops.
Yeah, happy birthday, Pops, the big 8-0, where the whole family is coming down to Brooklyn. We're all vaccinated. My brother is coming from the West Coast for the 80th birthday party, and we're super excited. I've been looking forward to it for weeks. Wow. So we'll have to see whether or not we have any downloads in Brooklyn.
But you know what's going to happen, though?
Is somebody's going to tell him about it.
Well, after Wednesday, he's going to be like, nah, bro. Podcasts are a 70-year-old's game, and I just I don't have time for that.
Podcasts are for kids.
Yeah. Or you could do like my mom does. I just want you to know I'm really behind on the podcast. There's just so much going on, and I just don't have the time to listen to
it. Well, it's totally understandable, because if you fall behind in the podcast, it's impossible to keep up with the show.
Right, yeah. It's such a week-by-week story. Right.
You would never catch up on the plot. All right, David, man. I have actual movie news,
okay,
if we want to get started.
Let's
with movie
this.
News. Have you heard of this movie? Did we watch the trailer? Have we talked about this movie called Demon Slayer, the movie Mugen Train?
No. The only reason I know about it is because the theater has been putting up, Penn Cinema has been putting up some ads about the anime movies coming to town.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, you know, I got no problem admitting when I'm wrong.
Right. Right. Which has never happened before. So this.
Which has never happened before. Right. Yeah. So this is fresh. But about 6 months ago, Demon Slayer opened in Japan and was literally the biggest Japanese release of all time.
What? Wow.
In the middle of pandemic. Now, of course, Japan is sort of on a different timeline, but Demon Slayer opened as the biggest movie of all time.
Wow.
And I'm going to show my ignorance because I'm pretty sure it's Japan. But anyway, so I read that and was totally on top of like, hey, this is a big movie. So I used all my networking skills and found the guy who distributes the movie. And I was like, hey, I got two IMAX theaters. Let's open it, you know, here. As soon as you open in America, I want in. So the guy was like, great. Well, he hemmed and hawed. And now my screens are all filled up. I got King Kong and I got Mortal Kombat opens on Friday. We got Tom and Jerry still kicking ass. We got all these screens. And now the guy whose name is David, who's a great guy, but so I booked the movie, and he's like, do you want the IMAX screens? And I was like, dude, I would have given you the IMAX screens a few months ago when I didn't have any content, and my IMAX screens were essentially sitting dark, but now I'm opening Mortal Kombat.
Right.
I'm not giving you IMAX screens for your little rinky-dink, cute little Demon Slayer movie. What kind of a fool do you take me for?
You fool!
Good sir! So, because I'm a good guy,
right?
As a favor to him, I decide to open Demon Slayer at Lititz and Wilmington, but not in IMAX, because I'm committed to Warner Brothers to open Mortal Kombat.
Right.
So then it comes out, Demon Slayer has a real problem, because the vast majority of IMAX screens in the country are going to Mortal Kombat. But they strike a deal with IMAX and Warner Brothers on opening night of Demon Slayer, which is Thursday night. Since there's no sneak peeks of Mortal Kombat, you can put Demon Slayer in IMAX.
Okay.
So that's what we did.
All right. Expecting Bri. What? Nothing?
Expecting, right. Ten kids.
Yeah.
You know, right. Whatever.
Yeah.
Like I got no better options. I don't care. Like, right. Fine. We'll put it in IMAX. Bruh.
Oh, boy.
When I'm wrong, I'm wrong. This movie is legit selling out. Like, the pre-sales for Demon Slayer are towering over the pre-sales for Mortal Kombat.
Whoa.
Don't get me wrong.
That's crazy.
Mortal Kombat is selling. But Demon Slayer is massive. And the only reason why it's not going to be the number one movie is because Mortal Kombat is going to be on in every movie theater in the country. But if Demon Slayer was at every theater, it would ease, like in Lititz, it's going to be the number one movie easily.
Wow. Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy.
Wow. So, I mean, I guess I'm happy that I was smart enough to get the movie, but, and I did. And just so people know how I operate, like I absolutely wrote back to David and said like, hey, I was wrong, you know, like, my bad. And in fact, I tried to get the movie for Huntington Valley, and he was like, no, you shouldn't have been such a jerk about it. No. But he did say, like, no, we don't have any more prints left. So, so that's movie news, and people who listen to the podcast should be in the know. And now you know this little movie called Demon Slayer is secretly on its way to be per cap the number one movie in the country.
What does that mean? We don't have any more prints left when it's all digital.
Yeah, that is a common question that I get asked, or that I have. Drew and I have been wrestling with that question for years, so I can answer that. It has to do with the commitment that the studio still has an expense. It's dramatically less than the old days of when they had 35 millimeter prints and they had to actually make the prints. The expense is dramatically less. But what this is based on is they enter into a contract with distributor is the wrong word, but like the company that actually physically distributes the film. So in this case, it would be Deluxe. So they enter into a contract with Deluxe, and Deluxe says, we will deliver 500 prints of this movie. What that means is that they will send hard drives to whoever needs a hard drive. They'll arrange for it to be delivered via satellite for those of us who have satellite transmission. So in other words, Demon Slayer producers are hiring a company that's going to be in charge of the infrastructure to deliver the film. Okay. And when they put that contract together, the contract was for 500 prints. I don't know what the number is, but let's say it's for 500 prints. Then the studio identifies the 500 theaters that they want this film delivered to.
Okay.
Right. And then a guy like me comes back and says, hey, we would like it in Huntington Valley. And then David says, we don't have enough prints, which means he's already committed to 500 different theaters. Now, what I said to him is reflective of the point that you're trying to make. I wrote him back and I said, hey, no problem. That's fair enough. Let me know if anything changes. So in other words, if the studio feels like enough people are asking for additional prints, then they might go back to Deluxe and say, we want you to deliver another 250 prints, making the total count 750. Here's the additional 250 locations.
Right.
So sometimes that print count changes. And sometimes studios get cute with it. So Sony, who I love, I deal with Stella, and she's amazing. But they got a little cute with their movie Unholy, which did not do that well. And then all of a sudden, Stella says to me, hey, we had extra prints come available for The Unholy, if you would like them. And I was like, I love you and everything, but I'm good. So that's an example where, like, Sony hired, let's say, Deluxe to deliver 1,000 prints. The movie doesn't do well, and the demand is not there. Sony only delivers or only needs to deliver 920 prints. So now it's on the burden falls on the people that I deal with, who are called sales reps. The burden falls on them to find another 80 places to play the movie.
Right.
So anyway, that's the story of why when they say we don't have any more prints.
Well, there you go.
Well, there you go. Heard it here first.
You're right here. Well, you know, let me tell you about the story about how we don't have enough Dr. Octopuses.
Doc Ock is what the cool kids call them.
Yeah. Alfred Molina. Sorry.
Easy for you to say.
Yeah, Alfred Molina. He says that he has reprised the role of Dr. Octopus for Spider-Man No Way Home, and he's pretty excited about it. He's also nervous, I was reading, because he said, hey, you know, I'm a little bit older and a little bit thicker.
And, aren't we all, brother?
Yeah, he's like, I don't know what they're going to do, because apparently he said that the role picks up right at the moment that Doc Ock is drowning in the water in Spider-Man 2. So I'm assuming there's some sort of portal or something that picks him up. But he said, hey, look at what they did with other Marvel movies. I can't remember the other actor's name, but one of them was, of course, Samuel L. Jackson, about how they de-aged him and made him look younger and more fit for Captain Marvel. And there was one for Captain America's movie that they did that as well. So, yeah, I'm excited about this. I mean, there's also rumors, you know, of Toby and Andrew Garfield coming back as Spider-Man. So we'll see how it turns out. But Jamie Foxx is supposedly going to be back as Electro. Lots of people coming back for this movie.
You know, what's funny about, that interview with Alfred Molina?
What's that?
You stop 100 people on the street.
Uh-huh.
And you say, who is Alfred Molina?
Right.
How many of them are going to know who Alfred Molina is?
Oh, like none.
Okay, let's say nine.
Nine.
Okay.
Okay.
You stop 100 people on the street and ask them who Robert De Niro is. How many people are going to know who Robert De Niro is?
Like all of them?
Like 95, 96.
Yeah.
Even if they can't name a movie, almost 100, I would say 99 of them are going to know that Robert De Niro is a movie star. So what I thought was interesting about the article with Alfred Molina is when he was talking about the de-aging stuff.
Yeah.
Did you read the part where he totally threw De Niro under the bus, where he was talking about, like, I don't want to end up, you know, with the de-aging, because sometimes it really works great, but then, like, look at what they did with De Niro in the fight scene in The Irishman.
I missed that part.
Now, like, again, like, okay, the guy may have an entirely valid point, but if I was speaking to a national or international trade magazine and being interviewed, like, on the record in public, I would not, I mean, whatever, I don't know, maybe the two guys are best friends and maybe, you know, he was just speaking his truth, but I kind of felt like I wouldn't throw De Niro under the bus.
Isn't Molina also an Oscar winner as well?
Yeah, I mean, he's the kind of person who, like, is much more of a talented, legit, verified veteran actor as opposed
to director.
Right. He's not iconic. He's not a celebrity. He's not, you know, whatever, which is fine. There's nothing wrong with that. He's, you know, but you're right. And I'll bet you, you know what, you make a really good point. I'll bet you that him and De Niro have had that conversation.
Yeah.
Now that I think about it, you're probably right. I bet you the two of them have had that, which might explain, like, why he felt comfortable making that wisecrack in public.
Yeah. Because we talk about who would know him, but he's also, like, the people who know him, like, know him.
Right.
Like, because he's right. been around and done right. a lot. It's
yeah, just, you stop those 100 people in Hollywood, probably 100 of them would know who he is.
Right. Yeah.
All right, well, speaking of legends.
Uh-huh.
Tara Reid.
America's Sweetheart.
The iconic star of American Pie 1, 2, 3, 4 says that there's a script for American Pie 5, and she says it's out there, but then she goes on to say, and it's the best ever.
Whoa, that's saying a lot, considering I've never seen any of them.
Have you really literally never seen them?
I've never watched the American Pie movies.
I've seen the first one. I don't think I've ever seen the second. Yeah.
I don't know that I ever need to see any of them.
No, not at all.
Yeah. I mean, I've seen them parodied enough that I understand.
That gets the job done.
Yeah.
But you know who is a legit icon is Sylvester Stallone.
Oh.
And Sly is confirming that Creed 3 with Michael B. Jordan will proceed without him. and he is retiring as Rocky Balboa. He said this last time when he was promoting Creed 2 during the press tours to promote that film. And I remember that happening, that he's sort of part of the promotion of Creed 2 is Sly was like, this is the last time Rocky's going to be in a movie.
Yeah.
You know, the character may be referenced, or, you know, certainly that universe continues to be what it is, but I'm not going to be in any more of these movies. And apparently he's confirming now that he will, in fact, not be in Creed 3. What I thought was interesting, and I'm curious if you knew this, Creed 3 is being directed by Michael B. Jordan.
I did not know that.
Yeah, so I think that's really cool. He's still obviously going to star in it. So I just thought that was interesting news. No word on, like, a timetable.
Michael B. Jordan has a movie going to straight to Amazon Prime that's a Tom Clancy film. It comes out in a week or so or two, and I'm actually really, like, pumped to see it.
Me too. I can't remember the name of it either, but I remember, yeah, I'm psyched.
I was surprised it wasn't getting theatrical, and I wonder if it's just, you know, because of everything going on, they just decided to do that.
Or not. Could be.
I don't know. So speaking of people that know when to step down from their famous roles, someone who doesn't know how to step down from their famous roles, Harrison Ford, Indiana Jones 5 is filming, and Mads Mikkelsen has been reported to join the cast.
As Indiana Jones?
Yeah, no.
No.
Well, I mean, maybe. Because apparently, undisclosed role. But we have another Mads Mikkelsen vehicle in our trailers today.
Yeah, so, a good one. Yeah. A really good one. So I continue, I'd like to go on record here, episode 117, continue to express my serious concerns about Indiana Jones 5.
Yeah.
Speaking as a child of the 80s, they need to rework this. I really think Stallone, the model that he took with the Rocky franchise is the model to follow.
Yeah.
Let it spin off to another character, and Dr. Jones can sort of be in the, you know, in the wings, and, you know, maybe even have a cameo or a small part or something like that. But he needs to pass the torch to somebody else. And I know it didn't work out with Shia LaBeouf, Beefcake, whatever, but he needs to find plan B.
Yeah, I agree. Hopefully this movie will do that. Just, you know, it's got to keep going, just like another movie series that apparently is not going to stop. And that is the fourth Hotel Transylvania movie, officially subtitled Transformania.
Ah.
And it's scheduled for a July 23rd, 2020 theatrical release, 2021 theatrical release. So
this movie is better known in our schedule as Hotel Transylvania 4.
Yeah. Transformania.
Do you think they had to get the rights to Transformania from Paramount, from the Transformers franchise?
I bet it was an argument. It was, yeah. Yeah.
I hope with all my might that, like, in early June, the people behind Transformers announced the new Transformers movie's coming out, and it's going to be called Transformania. Yeah. And then there's, like, this massive confusion, and the movie will just get started on the wrong foot yet again, all because of Hotel Transylvania 4, officially subtitled Transformania.
Yeah, it'll be this big thing. That nobody actually knows about, but apparently legally is like a horrible disaster.
No. I disagree. I think everybody's going to know about it. It's going to be like all kinds of awkward bad press for Transformers, you know. And then they're going to have to change the name. It'll be super awkward. And I bet you they'll spend millions of dollars on marketing materials for Transformania before they then have to dial it, walk it all back, and get new materials.
Yeah. This is a Mezozo ordeal all over again.
Right. This has Mezozo written all over it. All right. So we're excited for Hotel Transylvania 4, which actually looks really cute on July 23rd. David, I just want to point out, it's been a long time since we had any proper discussion of Dune.
Yeah.
What?
I mean, it's time for Dune news.
What the actual what?
Well, they've been keeping it quiet. They've been like, look, we got a masterpiece on our hands. Let's not spoil it. Let's just let it simmer. You know, let's not pull a No Time to Die and talk about it every 2 days.
Every time somebody rolls their ankle.
Yeah, yeah. So, okay, so a little bit worried about Dune 2. That's me. So, Eric Roth, I believe he's the screenwriter for the first one, he revealed to Collider that he's written a treatment for the second half of Dune, but doesn't believe he'll write the screenplay, which to me makes me say, what do you mean? Because, I mean, aren't they just planning on making the second one right away? And apparently, they're still hanging it all out there. I mean, Dune is only going to be half the story. It's not even going to be the full book. And they're like still waiting to see what happens before fully greenlighting the second one. Now, he didn't say he didn't think it was going to happen. He said as long as it performs, he expects it to happen, but he's 74 and he's got other things to do. And he thinks that Denis Villeneuve will do great on the second one as well, but he doesn't think that he'll do the screenplay.
That's an incredible amount of pressure on Warner Brothers to deliver Dune.
That's why when they wanted to do it direct, like straight home, they were like, whoa, 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 it's not going to... I mean, we need this to be a big blockbuster that everyone goes out, doesn't say, oh, I'll catch it next week. They need to go see it now and spend the money to get the like the numbers up. So...
I'm a little bit silent because I'm trying to organize my thoughts, because on the one hand, like, Dune is going to crush it. I mean, Dune's going to be massive.
It better.
And Dune 2 is going to come right on the heels of it. But on the other hand, like, if what have we been saying for the last 12 months? You and I on this show have been saying the only thing we know is that we don't know anything.
Right. Yeah.
So with that in mind, I'm kind of like, I will say, like, all kidding aside, I'm with you 100% in terms of, like, it's going to kill me if Dune is only half told.
Right. Yeah.
That's such a ripoff to such – I mean, it's just awful.
Yeah.
I hope to God with every fiber of my being, I hope that does not play out that way, because it would be – I feel like a lot of movies have been victimized because of COVID. But when I say that, what I really just mean is, like, they didn't gross the way they could have grossed.
Right.
You know what I mean? They didn't make as much money as they thought they would. And, you know, and for the actors and the producers and the crew involved, it's, I'm sure, disappointing. But I feel like Dune does have such the potential to start a new and exciting world with unlimited possibilities, you know, for, you know, continuing movies for years and years and years. And it's such a overdue, I don't know if that's probably the right word or not, but it's just so perfect.
Yeah.
And it was so exciting and we were so close. And if Dune 2 falls victim to COVID, that's just going to make me sad. That's just going to be such a ripoff.
I just don't understand how they didn't, like, greenlight both of them right away. You know what I mean? Like, that gets me concerned, like, faith in the franchise type of stuff.
There's a whole entirely different genre, so it might be a bad example. But you know what I always think of, and this is going to be so random, we have never talked about this franchise on this show before.
Oh.
But... A potential franchise that could have gone on for years and years and years with many, many, many sequels, never got a single sequel because it did so poorly in the box office. It had all the right ingredients. It had literary gravitas. I'm talking about Emma Roberts in Nancy Drew.
Oh, okay.
And I'm not even trying to be funny. I'm being totally serious. Like, Emma Roberts, I'm talking, this was like a little bit after Aquamarine. She was still like a hot property. Not that she's not anymore. She certainly is. But this was really when she was starting to peak with her popularity with like the teenage audience. And they put her in Nancy Drew. I watched it with my girls. The movie was great. And for reasons unrelated to the movie, in my opinion, it didn't do well. And it never got a sequel. And that could have been a franchise that Emma Roberts could have been making Nancy Drew movies for 10 years.
Right.
And it never saw a sequel, and I was really disappointed. And that's kind of how I feel about Dune. Like, I don't want that to happen to Dune.
I at least want the first book fully told. That's...
Right.
Like, I understand that's, if there's not room for the sequel books, but, like, to do half the first book is a criminal charge. Anyway, moving on to bigger and brighter things. We've got lots of new trailers this week, and I'll go on the record as saying a pretty good week for trailers.
I think every single one of these trailers is good, and I have a pretty clear front runner for me.
Oh. Okay.
So let's read them so that people know what to expect. Did you watch The Dry?
I did, but I already can't remember what it's about.
Okay. So, we got Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard. We got The Waterman, The Dry, Seance, the new F9 trailer, The Sleepless, Riders of Justice, and Belle, which was recommended to us by Frodo, which is exciting. I love that somebody wrote in with a trailer suggestion. All right, so I'll start us off with the first new trailer of our week is Hitman's Wife's Bodyguard, starring Ryan Reynolds and Samuel L. Jackson and Selma Hayek. And this is a sequel to the Hitman's Bodyguard. And it looks good. I mean, it looks exactly like a continuation of the first movie.
I love it. On so many ways, I love it. I'm fully on board for this movie.
Yeah, and this opens in June. Like, we haven't really talked about this movie, and it already opens. Like, it opens in June in theaters, like, in a couple months.
I think that was the smartest thing they could have done with it.
Because, totally agree.
Like, as good as it looks, and as much fun as you had with the first one, the Hitman's Bodyguard, they're not, like, the best movies in the world. They're fun.
Exactly.
But, like, the longer you dwell on them, the less you're kind of like, I mean, I guess I had a good time. You know what I mean? Like, No, I made that sound bad. And the less you're like, oh, this was like the best movie I've seen. You know,
right.
It's just like, it goes from being like the super high to just being like, okay, it was good. But so I think having it like a short build up leaves a lot of that excitement to sit with you. Oh man, I stumbled with that.
Yeah, you did. The Waterman.
Yeah. Okay. This is one of two movies by RJE Films, right? Or RIGJE Films, whatever. Both of the trailers for this week look good, and they have good music in them. But specifically this one, it didn't figure out like what it wanted to be. To me, it like started off like it was building up to be like a spooky trailer, and then all of a sudden it was looked like this really cool like kid adventure movie, and then 3/4 of the way there's like a 30-second part where it flips back to being a horror film, and then back to being a kid adventure film. So I'm not sure what the actual tone of this will be. Probably more kid adventure film, but it did look pretty good. About a boy who's looking for a mythical man called the Waterman, who's supposedly immortal, so he can find something to heal his mother, who I believe is played by Rosario Dawson.
Right. So. I thought this trailer looked good. This is a horror movie.
Is it really a horror movie? Because it is. Okay.
It's a horror movie, but what I don't like about it is, wasn't it PG? Wasn't it rated PG?
Yeah, that's what I'm confused, because it really does look like it's aimed towards kids.
Right, but when I state with great authority that this is a horror movie, I shouldn't have said it like that. What I meant to say was, if you have a movie that is part kids movie and part horror movie, you have to call it a horror movie.
Yeah.
And what concerns me about this movie is that parents are going to bring their kids to see this movie because it's PG, and the kids are going to have bad dreams, and they're going to be unhappy. That's like a pet peeve of mine when a movie can't accurately portray what kind of movie it's going to be.
Yeah.
It's annoying. Yeah. But with that being said, for those of us adults who like good movies, I think this movie looks really interesting.
Yeah.
I love the mythology behind it. And I sort of felt like this was a movie that I would go see.
The kid actors seem really good.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Next on our list, we have a movie called The Dry, starring Eric Bana, who we have not seen in quite some time, to my knowledge.
And this is yet another movie based on the best-selling novel that I've never heard of.
Or would have read anyway.
Oh, right. But I will say, it looked good, right? I mean.
Oh, yeah. I thought it looked really good. Based in Australia, about a guy trying to solve a murder who also was involved in another murder, and I guess they tie together somehow. But I thought it looked excellent. I'm totally on board seeing this movie. Good murder mystery.
It's called The Dry, and it stars Eric Bana.
Yeah.
And I think it looks really good. Seance.
This is the second RJE film.
This might be the exception at the top of this section when we said they're all good.
Yeah.
This one just barely sneaks in as good. It's aight.
Okay.
I feel a little bit like the old man at the end of the Muppets.
Yeah.
Like the trailers are great this week. They're all great. They're wonderful. They're all right. Most of them were good. I mean, they're all pretty good. I mean,
except for the one.
Except for the one. This is Seance, and it looks a little bit questionable in terms of quality, but it's kind of an old sort of normal. I feel like the storyline, we've seen the storyline before.
Oh, yeah.
Like, you know, girl getting picked on by bullies, and then, you know, they mess around with some kind of spiritual nonsense and then get haunted by bad people.
Yeah. And they all get killed off one by one.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah. On to something amazing.
Yes,
the
please.
The Fast 9 trailer 2. This movie was supposed to come out over a year ago, and we're only now getting trailer 2. And which I think is a smart move, but also trailer 2 has a lot of great, like, it's a lot more of the plot in it, but it just it's so much fun. Especially, everyone was like, is this the one they're going to go to space? Is this the one where they're going to go to space? Just joking around. And at the end of the trailer, they got rockets strapped to a car. And they go to space.
They talk about that car in the first trailer. They're like, is that a rocket tied to a, what's the car? It's like a Del Fuego or
yeah.
something.
And it's just so great because, like, it's a car and they're in spacesuits sitting in it with, like, duct tape around the glass and stuff.
They're duct taping the suit to themselves. The guy goes, what are we, going to Home Depot?
Oh, man, it looks so good. But once again, they spoil the whole thing of Juan coming back. Is that his name? Juan?
Han
coming back.
Justice for Han.
Yeah.
This is easily my trailer of the week. I laughed out loud numerous times during this trailer.
This is my trailer of the week, and I have a surprising runner-up.
All right, hit us with the runner-up.
The runner-up for me this week is The Sleepless.
Okay.
Because this movie, it's black and white. You might be thinking, it kind of looks like normal, boring, like they're just talking. One of my favorite movie series of all time is the Before series. Before Sunrise, Before Midnight. You know, Before Sunset, I said them out of order, but those are the movies. They're amazing movies, and they're basically just conversation movies about relationships and life and stuff. And that's what this seems to be about, two people around my age talking about what it's like to, like, you know, the disappointments and the highs and the lows of life and you know, what is a relationship and what, you know, what's life. And I think this movie looks fantastic. I absolutely want to see it.
Yeah, okay.
It might not be for everyone, but the movies are so good, and this just had that vibe.
Yeah.
And I love it.
I will say I enjoyed this trailer, and the movie looked good. It didn't, obviously, it struck a chord with you.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? It didn't strike any chords with me. I just sort of like, yeah, all right, it was good. I watched the whole trailer and like.
Right. Well, being in your 20s, you don't really relate to the stuff, same stuff I do, so.
Right, right. Yeah. Yeah. Us young bucks. I will say my runner-up of the week is the next trailer, which is called Riders of Justice.
Yeah.
With Mads Mikkelsen. Mm-hmm. And this is like a revenge movie, but I thought it looked really interesting. The guy's wife and daughter get killed on a train by accident.
I think just the wife.
Or just the wife gets, yeah. Right. Just the wife gets killed on the train in this, like, freak accident. But then one of the guys from the train comes out and says, like, hey, buddy, that was no accident.
Yeah.
Right? Somebody, you know, was assassinating another person on that train. And Mads goes nuts and puts together, like, this odd squad of, like, players, you know.
Yeah.
And then he goes and, like, kills this guy, and then he gets back in the car, and one of the – I call him the odd squad. One of the guys is, like, so – have you ever killed anyone before? Because it didn't look like that was your first time. The whole exchange in the car was, I just felt like the whole trailer looks brilliant. I'm sure if you strip the plot down to its essence, we've seen it before. You know what I mean? I'm sure that this movie has been made before, but somehow something about the character and the sort of ensemble, it just looked fresh. It looked like I want to see how it plays out. And I think here's the thing. If it was Liam Neeson playing the main character, I probably would be like rolling my eyes and being like, oh God, another one of these. I'm not going to waste my time. But I think Mads is, you know, he hasn't, at this point we all know who he is, but like, has he starred in a lot of movies?
He's
like, I don't
know him.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I think this is going to be fun to see how he does. And David, did you understand, is the movie in a different language with English subtitles?
Yeah. I think it's in German, maybe.
Okay.
It's definitely something, one of the countries around there. Maybe it's not, could be Norwegian. I don't know where he's from, but it seems like it's probably his native language.
So the whole movie is in a foreign, so it's a foreign language movie.
Yeah.
It's being distributed by IFC. So that's always a good sign. I think I'm going to try to get this movie if it's not on a wide release.
It looks good. I love, there's a part where he's training them how to be
gangsters. Yes.
And they're all like timing how fast they can put guns together. And the one guy's like, I just like to put things together good. The other guy just wants to be second. So he holds us up. He's like, I'm second. But he's got the barrel of the gun on backwards. So it's facing him.
I feel like that would be us.
Yeah.
Imagine if we were like a hit squad.
Oh man. We'd be the best hit squad. No doubt.
All right. And this last trailer is called Belle, and it was sent to us by Frodo. I pulled it up to get a sense of it, but I have not watched it. So you want to walk us through? Because I wasn't aware of it till the last minute.
Sure. Belle is by the same guy who did, I believe it's Wolf Children. Let me just pull this up here real quick.
Mamoru Hosoda.
Yeah. He also did some other great anime films. And I think there's not a whole lot about what's going on here. It looks like it deals with a virtual reality world. He also did Summer Wars or the Girl Who Leapt Through Time, which is a fantastic film. Basically, it looks beautiful. It's not in English yet, so I don't think there was much to have here. But it has something to do with virtual reality and alternate lives and virtual reality and some sort of cataclysmic event or something with that's what it appears to look like. But basically at this point with a lot of these anime films, it's more on like the looks of the animation capturing you and getting you interested in what the story could be. And right now I'm fully on board.
No, this looks great.
So speaking of things that looks great.
Speaking of greatness.
Yeah. Something that doesn't look great or is not great. This week we reviewed a movie called Vanquish, or as I like to call it, A Waste of Time.
Wait, can we just set the stage here for a moment?
Okay, please.
Since you are the resident historian.
Okay.
When we watched this trailer.
Uh-huh.
Did we express concern?
This is how it went down. Let me go. We reviewed the trailer and I was like, I don't know, this movie doesn't look like it's going to be that great. And then you were like, I don't know, man. Morgan Freeman is the best thing that's ever happened. I mean, not only did he play God, but he's a God on film and does no wrong. And I'm super excited for this movie. It looks great. And I was like, well, maybe, you know, I guess, okay. We'll see what happens.
I remember thinking that Morgan Freeman as a bad guy was an interesting.
Yeah.
Like, I remember that was the little bit of a hook.
You were like,
that had me perked a little bit. Yeah. I was like, okay, this is going to be cool. This is going to be fun to see Morgan Freeman doing something different. And now that you replay that is kind of how I remember it going down.
We have a problem, Penn. Here's the problem, right?
What's your problem, David?
So we both like to see the positive thing in people, right? But like I sometimes am like, I've got to, because I know I can be that way, and which is why I was told in our review of Voyagers that, you know, I don't like Lord of the Flies because I don't believe in the like everyone's evil right. type of thing. Like I look towards, and I was like, well, the problem, that's when I realized the problem with what we have is we're both like that, right? But right. I still am kind of skeptical. Like, I'm like, I know that I make this mistake, so let's find the bad things and look for them. But then, but you're just like full still in blind faith.
All in.
So you see a movie trailer and you're like, this is going to be fantastic. And me, I'm like, I've been hurt before, right? But then you come at me with this energy that I just want to believe so bad that I'm kind of like, maybe.
It's going to be okay. Like, yeah. Maybe the movie's going to be interesting.
I'll let it go. I mean, why would he be so enthusiastic if it wasn't going to be good? You know? Right. That's the trap. That's the trap that we get each other in.
Right. Yeah. So basically what you're saying is I talked us into having at least modest. I don't think either of us was, I know that you weren't, but I don't think I was like super excited for this movie. No. But I did, as you pointed out, I did have some hope, you know, a shred of light, you know, that this was going to be a good movie. And so can I tell what I told you, my side of the story? So I watched this movie on, I think it was Friday morning. And it was, I watched this movie early on Friday morning. And when while I was watching it, I was thinking to myself, I should text David so that he doesn't waste his time watching this movie. And I even like formulated in my mind like how the text was going to go. The text was going to go something like, like, hey man, I don't know if you have a busy weekend or not, but if you have anything better to do, choose that over this film. So unfortunately, like so many things in my life, this great idea of a text never got sent.
Right.
Right. So I never sent the text, but I swear to God, that's what I was thinking during the movie. So fast forward, was it Friday night or Saturday
Friday
night?
Night. I think
it was Friday night. So, so fast forward to Friday night. I got to read it. Oh my God. So Friday, what time did the movie start? 7 o'clock?
6:30.
6:30. Yeah. That makes it even worse. So Friday night at 7:15, I get a text from David Moulton that says, Friday night, David is 45 minutes into this hour and 45 minute long movie, and he says, I'm borderline mad that I'm watching this movie. So the movie wasn't just bad. It was bad enough to piss off the kind and friendly, gentle soul of David Moulton.
I'm getting angrier and angrier at this movie. You know, I'm like really fidgety. I'm like, oh my gosh.
So since I had the fun of setting the table of how much we hated it, you can have the fun of what stood out for you the most about why this movie sucked so bad.
Okay, let's start off with the first thing you notice right away. So first off, I just want to go on record that I'm pretty sure that this movie was filmed by community college.
Middle school.
I'm not sure they understand film techniques in – because they clearly don't know how to film at night, so they just filmed it during the day and then color keyed everything to look like it was at night.
I think this film was made in the 1990s.
But here's the problem. They color everything, like you can tell that it's clearly daytime, that they just kind of black and whited it to make it look like it was nighttime, because anytime there's a light source, it's like super blown out. But then, to make it not so obvious, anytime anyone is inside, they also have all the lights off, and then they cut, like, especially the like henchmen are in this diner the whole time, and instead of just filming it in the diner, all the lights in the diner are green for some reason, like a fluorescent, hard to look at green. I was like, who let this happen? Who was like, oh, we'll just fix it in post. We have today free. Let's just film a couple scenes. We'll fix it all in post. Nobody.
I had a problem before we even got to that.
You mean the 30-minute credits?
Yes. The 30-minute opening credit sequence of, like, not only was it awful, but they couldn't stick with one style. So for, like, the first 10 minutes, it was flashbacks of newspaper headlines, which I guess they were trying to establish Morgan Freeman's backstory.
Oh, my gosh.
And then it was like another 10 minutes where all of a sudden now they were like, let's show actual clips. Like, now there is like audio to it. And then there was video to it. But then they were back to the newspaper clippings. And it all happened over water?
Yeah. Yeah. And the audio clips, right, which is supposed to be like people from the news.
Right.
These were clearly like the guy who made the movies, like Friends. Like, oh, I need this line. You're here for dinner tonight. Let's just go record. One's like his daughter's friend. Clearly, she doesn't. Right. She doesn't have any of the like candor of a news person. She sounds like some college age girl reading off of a script. The other is like some guy, probably same situation. Who, I don't know if he's supposed to be a disc jockey or what, but none of them seem like it's a clip of a broader like statement. Like a normal news clip, like, oh, here's a snippet of what they were talking about. No, they only were on the air to say this one thing, and that was the only thing they were going to say.
Right.
Yeah.
And just when you thought they were going to start the movie, they started another round of this backstory, awkward, poorly put together black and white credit opening sequence with everybody who was involved in the movie had their name in the opening sequence.
Because no one's going to wait till the end to find out who was in the movie.
Okay, so what else did you hate about it? Because I got a couple more things to bring up.
Okay, let me tell you about this is beat for beat what happens in this movie more than once, right? But I'm going to give you one example, right? Morgan Freeman pulls Ruby Rose into the room, and he's like, hey, look, you want your daughter? You got to make these 5 stops, okay? 5 pickups. Pick up the money. Bring it here. At the end of the night, I'll give you your daughter, and we're done. And then she's like, I want my daughter now. He's like, no. 5 stops. You know the deal. And she's like, all right, I'm going to do it. So she leaves. Smash cut to literally a 1-minute scene, maybe less, of the henchman, usually on the phone with Samuel L. Jackson, in horrible green lighting going, I'm really worried about the situation. It's really bad.
You mean
bad.
Morgan Freeman. Morgan Freeman.
Yeah, sorry. Really, on the phone with Morgan Freeman. This is a really bad situation. It's horrible. I don't know what I'm going to do. Horrible acting as well. And then he hangs up the phone, shakes his head. I'm talking like we've only been away from the protagonist for a minute. Not much more.
Right.
Then back to Ruby Rose riding her bicycle, her motorcycle, down the road. But instead of just showing her riding her motorcycle, they play snippets from the conversation she had 1 minute ago as flashbacks over top of her. The exact same thing, out of order. But except for this time, she has a little girl going, Mommy, in the background of it all. So you hear Morgan Freeman, 5 stops. That's what I need you to do. 5 pickups. Bring the money back here. You want your daughter? 5 pickups. And I just was like, we just saw that. You don't need to do a flashback of the thing we just saw.
Okay. I'm going to stay on that theme.
Okay.
With Ruby Rose on her motorcycle.
Yeah.
Okay. Ruby Rose, this is like a wild coincidence. But while I was thinking, okay, let me come at it the other way. Did you know who Ruby Rose was before the movie started?
I did, because she's in the Meg.
Because she played Batgirl.
And she's Batwoman. Yeah.
Yeah, she... Batwoman or Batgirl?
Batwoman, different character.
Batwoman on the DC like TV shows, right?
Yeah.
Okay. The reason why that's a wild coincidence is because I did not know that until I was prepping for today's episode.
Okay.
And I was doing some research on who's this Ruby Rose, what's the deal, and I thought, oh my God, that's the craziest coincidence, because here's what I was thinking during the movie. They show her on her motorcycle going down the street, and she's doing like this, like yeah. on the motorcycle, really smoothly rocking back and forth to show movement. Like, she's obviously on a motorcycle in front of a green screen with, like, a crew of guys, like, leaning her a little to the left and leaning her a little to the right. And while I was watching the movie, I thought to myself, my first thought, honestly, was this reminds me of Speed Racer, which is another collateral bomb. But my second thought was, this reminds me of Batgirl from the Batman movie. Or not the Batman movie, the old-fashioned Batman show from the 60s. Like, when they would show – I'm talking about television from the 1960s. They would show Batgirl on a motorcycle, and she'd be, like, hunched over on her motorcycle, swaying back and forth real calmly to show movement. And that's what this person looked like in this movie, which was released in 2021.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like 50-plus years later. I was embarrassed for them,
yeah.
And it was that took me like completely out of the movie because I was so distracted at how unrealistic all of her motorcycle scenes were. And every time she got on the motorcycle, they showed that they had the camera right in front of her, and she was, you know, leaning back and forth.
Yeah, it was so. She has a giant body cam on her all the time, so that Morgan Freeman can watch her, and it just. It's so hokey, and her guns in their holster are never hidden. They're always like very pronounced on her back.
Right.
Yeah, and the whole idea is that he orchestrated this big thing so that she could kill the people that have always been after her, so that she wouldn't be hunted anymore, but that anyone left would blame it on him.
Right.
And then she would have all this money for her kids because he actually cares about her a lot, or something.
I did miss – I have one more point of grievance that I need to enter for the record. But I also will tell you that – and I know our listeners are wondering the same thing. Yes, I did go out to the lobby for a leisurely cup of coffee. And I bumped into one Bob Tucci and chit-chatted with him for a few moments. Talked about how was your week? What are you doing this weekend? You know, like yeah. I was fully available for small talk and conversation while I was watching this movie.
No doubt.
Okay, so getting to the end of the movie.
Yeah.
In your pantheon of bad movie endings, where does this rank?
It's pretty horrible. It's
pretty horrible ending.
Absolutely horrible.
And so the bad guys come into his house.
Yeah.
Just kind of walking around. Another ongoing problem that I had with this movie is that all the bad guys reminded me of like me and my friends. Like a bunch of dads dressed up with guns.
Yeah.
You know, like yeah. like picture us walking around like that's what these bad guys look like. Total joke. So they're walking into the house, which if this guy Morgan Freeman is such a dangerous kingpin of all the underworld, how do you just walk into the guy's house?
Well, they walk into his house, but it's every single crooked cop on his payroll walks into his house.
Right. And they each go down a different hallway,
yeah.
which leads to the living room. And then the one cop, the main bad cop says, where is he?
Yeah.
And then Morgan Freeman says, hail, hail, the gang's all here. And then he holds up a remote control and blows up the entire house, yeah. including himself. And that's the end of the movie.
Well, there is some more scenes, but I couldn't really tell you what they were because by this point I was ordering food on my phone. So... I missed the there's like Ruby Rose driving, having seen
right.
something like her new life is going to be so amazing now or something. I don't know.
I think they were just showing clips of like her on a picnic with her son or her daughter or whatever.
I had a sandwich to order, so it was, you know, more important.
I feel bad for Ruby Rose because she is she's going to struggle.
Yeah. She's not a bad actress, but if you keep putting stuff like this on your resume.
I didn't think she was a great actress.
Okay. She's not.
I don't think I'm going to come out and call her bad.
Yeah, I don't think she's bad.
But I'm not going to come out and call her good. there's the quote of the week. I'm not going to call her bad, but I'm not going to call her good.
Wow. But we definitely call this movie bad.
We definitely call this movie bad. I think the quote that I said to Drew afterwards was very similar to the quote I had when I saw Nobody.
Yeah.
Except it was like the opposite. When I saw Nobody, I said, that was the best movie I've seen in years. Mm-hmm. And what I said to Drew is that was the worst movie I've seen in years. And I have to really think about what was the worst movie I've seen. Like, what movie is worse than this? And here's what I'm going to do for our listeners. Because I know you want in on the conversation. If you email podcast@penncinema.com, I will give the first 10 people who email a pass to see Vanquish so that you can come in and see it and write to us and tell us what you hated about this movie.
Right.
Or I dare you, podcast@penncinema.com, I dare you to write in, get a pass to this movie for free, a win, like we're giving them away.
Yeah.
I have 10 passes to see Vanquish, and I'm going to give the first 10 people who email us a free ticket to see Vanquish.
Right.
And I dare you to watch this movie and write us and tell us we're wrong. Tell us this is a good movie.
I want to see that argument. I think it's impossible.
Here's the catch. Okay. Here's the catch. Because, okay, you know, we don't just give stuff away.
Right.
Here's the catch. And it's going to be on the honor code.
Okay.
If you take me up on this, you have to watch the whole movie. You can't, like, come in and watch the opening credits and be like, damn, Penn was right. This movie sucks.
I'm out.
Like, me and David each gave it 107 of our minutes.
Yeah.
You know, you can too.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. I was surprised there was other people in the theater. I think one guy was snoring away. You know, it was a time that was had, definitely for sure.
Oh my god!
Yeah. All right.
Well, that's the deal. And I'm totally serious. I'm not making a joke.
Okay.
Podcast@penncinema.com. I will give you a pass to see Vanquish at any Penn Cinema location, ooh, or in Ephrata where it's not even playing, and you come in and watch a movie and let us know if we're wrong.
Please do. Podcast@penncinema.com. All right. So listener notes, feedback, questions, suggestions, and answers this week. We heard from Frodo. She had a lot to say. I'm not going to get too far into it, but she dropped some serious knowledge on djinn or genies, however we were discussing them last week, and how she went on. This is like her jam. So she had a lot of really good info about how they aren't necessarily good or evil, but are twisted that way in stories and such. They could be either way, but they don't generally have a side.
I thought that was such a fascinating insight. And yeah. I absolutely loved hearing about that, because I think the whole problem with so many things in our world, and I'm just as guilty as anybody, but we always feel this need to label things, and specifically to label things good or bad. You know what I mean? Like, oh, this thing happened and it's bad, you know, and this thing happened and it's good, as if we know anything. And I think it's really interesting to have these spirits, which apparently over time have gotten to be sort of labeled as bad spirits. But to be reminded that originally they were just spirits, you know, and sometimes they were good and sometimes they were bad. And, you know, on balance, they weren't necessarily good or evil, just like us. And I thought that was pretty cool. I really appreciated hearing that and seeing, sort of opening my mind to that concept. I think that would be really cool if there were more characters, and, you know, if somebody could sort of mine that aspect of mythology where we could have more characters that are flawed, but also, you know, a hero and a villain type of thing, mm-hmm, which I think is what the Dark Knight, I think that's why Christopher Nolan's Dark Knight, you know, sort of hit the nail on the head with a little bit of that.
Right. She also told us about Lord of the Flies. She elaborated that it's not just about men's inherent evil. It also was written to be more about, like, social positions of, like, white men and stuff like that. A lot of interesting stuff there to look into. She also pointed out the trailer for Belle, which we talked about earlier. So, now, why don't you handle this next one, since it's basically unwarranted praise for you?
I mean, is this the best email I've ever gotten? Probably.
Probably.
So, Chris Hall Productions. I hope that when I die, somebody's like, and in 2021, Penn got the following email from Chris Hall Productions. And, like, reads it at my funeral. So Chris Hall Productions writes in, congratulations on what was the actual funniest thing I've ever heard on a podcast. And then he goes on to quote, this is me, my commentary referring to you. Quote, got his hands full of corn chowder and his foot in his mouth. The David Moulton story. And then Chris Hall Productions goes on to say, were I any sort of an artist, I would draw David with gobs of chowder on his hands and a foot in his mouth. Maybe someone else can get on that. So if we have any artists, like my dad, for example, if he's still listening, were I any sort of an artist, I would draw David with gobs of chowder on his hands and a foot in his mouth. Maybe somebody else can get on that. So podcast@penncinema.com if you'd like to send us a sketch of David with his hands full of chowder and a foot in his mouth.
I know when he listened to this, he sent a group message out to a bunch of people that I was part of. And he said, I almost crashed my car. I was laughing so hard. So apparently you're the funniest guy in town right now, according to Chris Hall Productions.
So, and for that reason, this is our last episode ever. Can you go out on a high note? Good night. Thank you, Jesus. So I also got an email from the Mystery Gobble.
Oh, yeah.
We got this on the side. He sometimes forgets to send podcasts at Penn Cinema, although he does also sometimes write the show. But he wrote me on the side, and this has nothing to do with movies. So you'll have to excuse me, but I thought it was funny as hell. Scott is an engineer,
right?
Like one of those legit smart dudes who's like actually knows stuff and has like, and he's got a wicked sense of humor. And he sent me an actual heat graph that shows, and this, you can file this away to bring up sometime when you're like at a cocktail party, like wearing your top hat.
As I do.
As I know you do. And then, you know, you see a lovely lady over there and you want to press her, walk up there, hey girl, and you drop the following knowledge. A Jeep Wrangler. You're familiar with this vehicle, the Jeep Wrangler?
Yeah.
A cow. You're familiar with the animal, a cow?
I am.
The cow is more aerodynamic than a Jeep Wrangler.
Wow.
Which doesn't sound as funny now saying it out loud on the podcast, but to see a heat map of both of them side by side is pretty hilarious. So Jeep Wrangler, less aerodynamic than a cow.
Wow. Well, and a Jeep Wrangler will milk your wallet while you would milk a cow?
Right. Yes, exactly. All right, David, what are you watching? What are you reading? What are you doing with your time?
Oh, my word. Well, this week I finished the book The Game of Lives by James Dashner, which is part of the Mortality Doctrine trilogy. I thought it was fine. I really liked the middle book of the series. I thought the first one was interesting. The second book was fantastic. And I found the third book to just kind of be okay.
It was
so,
all right.
Yeah. So if you like The Maze Runner, probably check this out. It's pretty good. I also talked last week about how I was wrapping up Stargate SG-1. Well, I want you to know, as soon as we were done recording last week, I was like, what can my life consist of? The two Stargate SG-1 movies, The Arc of Truth and Continuum. So you know I had to watch those two back to back. And then my heart got crushed. Penn. Crushed. Because here I was.
I'm so sorry to hear that.
I know. I was like, well, you know what? I'm just going to continue this travel down nerddom. I'm done with SG-1. It's time to start Stargate Atlantis.
All right.
Guess what? It's not streaming anywhere. Can you believe that? It's not
streaming. David, that's heartbreaking.
I know. 5 seasons of Stargate just sitting out there in the one, like, wild, and I can't see them. And I'm just like... I mean, that show stars Jason Momoa pre-beef-up, before he was super beefy. He was only kind of beefy.
And he had dreadlocks. Kind of beefy. Yeah.
But not for me, I guess. I don't get to see it.
That's one of life's. That's one of life's great injustices.
Tell me about it. Now, what am I supposed to watch?
You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to label that bad.
Yeah. And we already discussed how we only see the positive.
Right. I'm going to get out my little sticker gun, my label gun, my label maker, and I'm going to make a label that says bad and stick it right on that piece of news.
Oh, my word. That's my world. That's my world. What have you been doing?
I've had some good stuff.
Okay.
Now, the least exciting thing is I'm rewatching Dead to Me just because it just goes down so easy. Like it's like drinking a smooth milkshake or something. I've already seen it. I know what's going to happen. It's not especially great. I'm not like the number one fan, but I do like it and I enjoy it. It's easy to watch. But I watched this documentary about a museum that was robbed of its artwork called This Is a Robbery.
Oh.
It's on Netflix. It's on Netflix, and it's like a limited series. So it is like 6 or 7 episodes, I think. And it's sort of a documentary where they also occasionally reenact bits and pieces of it, but really good. So I do recommend This Is a Robbery. It's in the spirit of not labeling things. I don't want to spoil it, but I'm going to spoil it. So in the spirit of not labeling things, they get to the end of this documentary. And here we are 50 years later, and they still don't know who stole the paintings or where the paintings are.
Oh, wow.
So that's interesting. I also watched an old movie from 1998 called Croupier with Clive Owens, a very young Clive Owens. The movie was whatever, but it was interesting because he narrates the whole thing.
Okay.
So he's the main character, and the main character obviously has plenty to say and interacts, but throughout the entire movie, Clive Owens, as his character, narrates what's going on, refers to himself in third person. It was just a little bit of an interesting take on a pretty this falls into the category of movies you've already seen, but somehow it was done well enough that I enjoyed it. I guess because it sounds obvious to say, but I guess because Clive Owens is a great actor, like he's talented. So even, as he was younger and with a small movie, I don't think it would even, I don't remember when it came out. I mean, it came out in 1998, but I don't remember it coming out. Anyway, I also want to give a little shout out because I've been increasingly getting into it. Have you ever heard of the Rich Roll podcast?
I have not.
So Rich Roll is an endurance athlete, and he has expanded now to cover all kinds of social justice, environmentalism, nutrition, etc. And I've been really digging his show and listening to it pretty much every chance I get, because much like your mom, I got to catch up on all the old episodes.
Yeah. And this is opposed to the Rick Roll podcast, which is just never going to give you up every episode.
Exactly. All right. Yeah. I'm pretty sure those are two totally different podcasts.
Right. Well, I want to switch back to something that I meant to talk about earlier, but I forgot. I've been watching Falcon and the Winter Soldier, but I didn't think it was worth saying because I've been doing it every week and everyone should be. But there was something I wanted to talk about. This week was built up as having a major cameo that was going to blow everyone's minds. Now, Falcon and the Winter Soldier was supposed to come out after Black Widow, right? And this is the whole thing about how these shows and movies are supposed to tie together.
Right.
So Black Widow was supposed to come out, then Falcon and the Winter Soldier, then WandaVision. Black Widow didn't come out, so they held Falcon and the Winter Soldier. They did WandaVision. Black Widow was supposed to come out, and then it got pushed again, so they finally were just like, we're releasing it anyway. There was a character played by Julia Louis-Dreyfus, who was the special character, but it totally lost all of its lackluster because she's introduced apparently in the Black Widow movie, and she makes an appearance here, but nobody knew who she was, and it didn't carry any of the weight that they were expecting this major cameo to carry.
Oh,
Still interesting to see there. Excuse me. Still interesting to see there, but it did cause a lot of people to run to the internet and be like, "Who is this character? What's going on here?" So, anyway, that's just an example of how that
I hate went. When I have to run to the internet. When it's in the other room or if I left it in the car.
That's why you jog so much, because you got to be ready for it. Right?
David, I don't jog.
Oh, you run.
Come on, I run. I run.
You sprint?
Please. Well, I have friends who sprint, but no, I don't.
you move at a faster pace than a jog, but a slower pace than a sprint.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I just have to tell this. I just have to tell this really funny side story, okay, and then we can wrap up. But so I, as I think you know, train with this group of triathletes, and there's a wide range of people. Some are professional, literally professionals who are winning the entire race. Some are really high-end age groupers who are winning their age group. And then there's me, you know, who like comes in the middle pretty much every time. And then there's also, we have the newest member of our squad is the daughter of one of our friends, and she's 15 years old.
Okay.
And she's been fully embraced by the squad. Everybody loves her. Everybody sort of semi-adopted her. You know, everybody looks out for her, you know, and it's really, really wonderful. Well, she's fast as hell.
Of course, she's 15.
Yeah. No, but even so, like, unusually fast, even for a 15-year-old. And it's really funny because she always runs with the fastest people in the group. And while she's doing it, she's chit-chatting, carrying on a conversation, talking about what she did. So I'm at the track, and she was there. We were all having a group track session a couple nights ago. And I'm, like, dying, you know, just barely hanging on. And she's running past me like I'm standing still. Right? And while she blows past me like I'm standing still, real casual, she goes, "Good job, buddy. Keep it up." I was like, "Oh my God, are you 15 or 43?" Anyway, oh, yeah.
All right.
So there you have it. There you have it.
Well, next week we're going to be watching Mortal Kombat with a K. So
the only thing I don't like about this movie is the fact that combat is spelled with a K. I'm super excited to see this movie, though. The buzz is amazing. There's a featurette online, which I thought was really interesting. If you want to Google that, Mortal Kombat 2021 featurette. It has an interview with some of the stars and some of the, I think, the director. But the more I hear about this movie, the more psyched I am to see it.
I'm pumped. I think
it looks gory and bloody as hell, but I'm on board.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, we hope you join us for that. We want to hear what you think of Mortal Kombat. Of course, write in if you want to get a free ticket to see Vanquish to try and tell us how it's a good movie. You'd be tough to do so. But, of course, you can do that at podcast@penncinema.com. That's the number one way to get in touch with us. But what, Penn, is the number one way to support the show?
Well, the number one way you can support a show is to tell a friend. Yeah. Right? That's the simple thing. But there's a new craze. Now, I don't want to get anybody in trouble.
Okay.
I don't want to point fingers, so in other words, I'm not encouraging you to do this. Okay. I'm just reporting that, like crazy, a lot of people are doing this. Because it's the time of year when people are opening up their pools, their right. swimming pools in the backyard. Yeah. Right. So what a lot of people are doing is they're going to Home Depot. Uh-huh. And they're getting one of those they're getting one of those 20-pound bags of little pebbles.
Oh, yeah.
Right? You know, for the backyard, right? That are usually typically designed for, like, landscaping accents or whatever. But what they're doing is, at nighttime, they're sneaking into people's pools, and they're putting the pebbles. They, like, hold their breath. And then they go down. Some of them can't hold their breath that long, so they have to use, like, a garden hose and, like, put the hose in their mouth and the other end up above so they can breathe while they're doing this. But what they're doing is they're taking the pebbles and they're arranging them in the bottom of people's pools to say, "Listen to the Penn Cinema podcast," to arrange that at the bottom of their pools. And again, you know, please, I'm not asking you to do that. I would never.
No.
But I'm just reporting you've probably seen it. I mean, you've probably seen it all over town.
So people many people are doing have it. Done it. Yeah.
Right, in every swimming pool in the land.
Yeah. Oof. Wow, so if you can find a swimming pool that it's not been done to, first issue, right. then you should definitely do it. Yeah.
That's a really valid point. Everybody's doing it, but
I mean,
that's awkward.
Build a pool if you have to, you know?
If you build a pool in your backyard and the tiles read out Penn Cinema Podcast, I would give you free 10 free tickets to see Vanquish.
You can see the movie 10 times.
Right. Or bring 9 of your friends.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah. So, all right. Well, that about wraps us up for the Penn Cinema podcast. I'm David Moulton.
And I'm Penn Ketchum.
Take care. Party on.
I almost said what's up.
Thanks for joining us this episode. Our hosts would love to hear from you. To contact the show with your thoughts and reviews, email podcast@penncinema.com. This podcast is a production of Penn Cinema. Escape to the movies at Penn Cinema, featuring crisp digital projection, killer sound, reserved seating, and premium power recliners. With locations in Lancaster, Pennsylvania, Wilmington, Delaware, and Huntington Valley, Pennsylvania. Showtimes and tickets available at www.penncinema.com.
Awesome.
Good.
Yeah.
Great. I'm happy.
It's a cut.